Simitov Nun, Sif Beis. Yisrael Shemakabel Me'eno Yehudi, Beribis Kikaris B'chol Shuos. He lent the guy money, and the payment back for the loan is going to be that he gives him a payment of, for the interest, it's a payment of X amounts of loaves of bread per week. So Yermala Kodim Pesach, Shitalo Bashua Shal Pesach Kemach Oimo. He should inform him before Pesach that he has to pay him during Pesach. The payment has to be either with flour, which is not chametz, or money instead of loaves of bread. Nowadays we deal with flour as a suffix chametz deraisa, because they wash in the process of milling. They wash it. But assuming there was no washing done in the milling process, there's no reason why flour should be considered chametz. Okay, but kimi shehista imay kach. If that's the arrangement that he made, even though the goy delivers to the Jew loaves of bread at the after Pesach, which he made for him on Pesach, chalifei akemach v'amo is saying that really what he owed him was either flour or money, and he's giving instead of the flour, he's giving a loaf instead, or instead of money, he's giving a loaf instead. So he's exchanging his chiyuv of the kemach or the mos for a loaf of bread instead of paying him with that. For sure, and that's going to be permitted. Okay, zog the mishabura and sifkat and gimel. Yerma loy kredim. So he has to tell him before Pesach that the arrangement is going to be this week. You're going to give me kemach or mos. So why does he have to tell him before Pesach? The main thing is he tells him before he delivers the loaf, right? Why do we say specifically it has to be done before Pesach? So maybe practically it's a good time to say it before Pesach. This way they won't make a mistake and forget when they get to Pesach and do it wrong. But okay, but it sounds like there's a halacha that you must do it before Pesach. Why is that? The kaven. She described little loy b'chol shua kikar. The arrangement was each week he delivers a loaf. Okay, kem shemayachad ha'akum ha'kikar b'pesach. Since this is the arrangement, where we consider it as if, as soon as the goy designates this loaf as a loaf he's giving to the Jew, we look at it as if the Jew now acquired that loaf, because it's always given to the Jew, it's designated for the Jew already, so this is like, it's his already. Well now it comes out that the Jew's loaf is in existence, sitting by the goy, but the Jew's loaf sitting on Pesach. See, when the goy only delivers it after Pesach, it's like the Jew owned it on Pesach. So that's what's going to happen. So it's not enough that the goy, to the goy already makes a loaf and designates, and the Jew says, "Going to give me flour instead." That's not going to work because it's already been designated as the Jew's loaf. No. This week you're not paying me with kikar. Rachel Kamel Shalem, either the flour which you would give me loaves, give me flour instead. Or Dmei Shabin, or the value of the loaves. Ashitin Lekikaris, Shiefa Achar Pesach, or the ranger can be that he'll tell him, you make me loaves after Pesach. You'll give me that afterwards. That's fine. If the arrangement is he's supposed to make the loaves after Pesach, so then if he makes it on Pesach, that's not the Jew's headache. Okay? Even the goy will then prepare to make these loaves on Pesach. It doesn't bother us. The Jew has no type of lien on them, no type of rights to them. Therefore, so right now they totally belong to the goy, so that's good, that's fine. Okay, so he can give to him the kikaros chametz after Pesach. Even the loaves which the goy made for the Jew on Pesach, the goy can deliver to him to the Jew after Pesach. Okay. Now. So the Mishabura, Skimar Khan and the Khozil Khathil, this is all the preferred way of doing it. Have a bit of evidence in case of the Jew did not tell the goy this. Feel him loy his the Yisrael, excuse me, his the klal nami, shari lo the kabbalik yukaris. Even if the Jew did not make this arrangement before Pesach, he can accept the loaves after Pesach. Mishul Shuah Shal Pesach for the week of Pesach. Alvagav the Yichadim Loy the Yisrael Pesach. Even the Goy made them for the Jew on Pesach, and he said they're for the Jew on Pesach, and he designated them for the Jew. So, but he it's mut. The Chosman Shalibo the Yeshus Yisrael is Achabem because the Ma'aseh he wasn't Kainah. So even though he has a shibud on them, and he has a schus in them, and he has a right to them, so it's like it's chomet shayzal, but it's only like. The Jew has a chayv that the goy owes him loaves, but he doesn't own the loaves. Therefore, rehein shel akum adayin kol yemei pesach, and therefore they belong to the goy. Truthfully, they belong to the goy the whole pesach. So there's no reason why the Jew should have a problem. After Pesach, with these loaves, they're chametz of a goy on Pesach. So you look at the Shaar HaTzion, just like the lineup of the Achronim who say this, it's a Prichadosh, a Magen Avraham, from the name of the Bach, it's a Groa, and a Graz, and a Beis Meir. Like, you know, you can't get more powerful, better lineup than that, right? It's like, it'd be like the All-Star game. Okay. Wrong season, right? Gimel.
Okay, Yisrael v'Yehudi she'esh lehem tanur b'shutfus.
Jew and a goy own an oven b'shutfus. So, what do you do in an oven? You bake bread. So, the goy are going to come and be baking bread in this tanur, and or the two of them are going to be baking bread in the tanur. But basically, the point was they were doing it for schar. And so the Jew's been benefiting from the baking of bread, of chametz in his tanner on Pesach. So Ermelein Yehudi cut him a Pesach, tol atosh shel Pesach, when he ets ol achakach. You take the week of Pesach, and I'll take the week afterwards. So whatever income comes the week of Pesach goes straight to you. Okay. So like the Mishnah Berurah. Hey, Ermelein Yehudi cut him Pesach, he tells the God before Pesach, here's the deal. You get the week of Pesach, I get the week afterwards. Okay, v'imloy Omar. If the Jew did not tell the goy this arrangement before Pesach, also the kabel achar Pesach avur chelkoy afilo mos. So the goy can't take all of the income for the week of Pesach and pay the Jew money. So he's not paying him with loaves; he's paying him with money. The Jew can't accept that because it's the money which is for the hanoah of the chametz on Pesach. Is that the Mishnah Berurah of when he etzel acher kach? Yesh yachanim shekosel. Some of the chanim say, and he brings this as a taz. The davka kasher meloy. I mean, he etzel acher kach domim neged a kikar shenotalta. So apparently, part of the arrangement would be that they would split loaves. So now the goy takes a loaf, the Jew gets a loaf. So that means that it's similar to the halacha before, that you're creating a shibud that the goy owes the Jew a loaf. So he says, no, I'll take money corresponding to the loaf that you took. Then after Kerem Shana Roitzel, Lahaskir Tanur, the Malacha, the Pesach, Rak Bad Domin. I'm only renting out my oven, not that people should pay with chometz, but that people should pay with money. But the Marash Shemaloi tell us a Shavua Shal Pesach is a Tanner. Ben Yehboi, Ben Lo Yehboi. The best way of saying is, listen, you get the week of Pesach. Whatever comes in, it's a lot, it's a little, it's yours. Ben Yehboi Shavua Shal Fanel. Or Shal Achakach. I'll take the week before, the week afterwards. Whatever comes to me. So basically, gave over the rights to the shutvis for Pesach to his goyish partner. Okay, so it functions as an act of chalukah. In other words, what is he saying over here? That there's different ways to divide up a shutvis. One of the ways you can divide a shutvis is that for this week, you're the owner. And for that week, I'm the owner. That's the arrangement. Now, the Jew owns the actual item. He still has a kinyan, what's called, called kinyan aguf, an item. But the exclusive, all the yishtamshes belongs to the other partner. So for this week, all rights of yishtamshes of this tanner are to the goy. The following week, all rights of yishtamshes of usage of the tanner are all, and therefore all the everything that it produces belongs to the Jew. So that's the arrangement. Now, the Jew has no other claim on the person. Whatever he gets, if he doesn't get, he doesn't get. But, you take the loaves, mashi, the pesach, whatever comes in a pesach. But he etol kiskum ze'achakach, and I'll take the corresponding amount of loaves the following week. So that means the more loaves that come into the goy, the more loaves the Jew gets after pesach. See, now the Jew wants the loaves. You want those kikars to be in your tanner because that's going to produce for you more after Pesach. If that's the arrangement, so the goy is not going to give you anything after Pesach. He only gives you corresponding to what he got. So the more he gets, the more you get. So you want to have kikars of chametz in your tanner. So now your tanner is you're getting some type of kinyan, as it were, in these kikaris. Because these kikaris, you own, or you can use to generate other kikaris after Pesach. So I have a certain amount of, like as it were, usage out of these kikaris and Pesach. Because the more which come in, the more I get afterwards. So it's kilo l'pshat is you got a right in these kikaris, and now you're saying, okay, now I have these 10 kikaris coming out here, Mr. Goy, you take that, I'll give them to you, and you'll give me something in exchange. That's how we look at what's happening. Also, you're exchanging them with the Goy. You're getting benefit from the chametz and pesach. Based on the portion you own, you have a right to get normally from the oven from these kikaris. What you're giving to your goy, the goy will give you back. The Jew giving the goy his rights to these loaves, half of the loaves, let's say, or half of each loaf, wherever the range it was, the goy will give him back correspondingly afterwards. So that's not good. So that's unacceptable. Vosr. Okay, but if he says, listen, whatever you get whatever I get, so there's no exchange of loaves. Because you might get a lot, and I might get a little, and I'm agreeing to that. V'yesh sh'oysim afilu k'sher meloy v'ni etzol achakar domim negar k'kar sh'natalti. He says, listen, you take this week the loaves, and the first, the Shabbat gave you two options. The second option was, you take it this week, or they take that week, and that's it. Whatever this week is, it is. Whatever that week is, it is. Fine. The first option he said was, so the Chronim said that was okay. So Naam Shabbos says that those who say that, no, it's not acceptable. Whatever the value of this loaf that this guy's getting, the Jew's going to get the corresponding value afterwards. So the Jew is getting a benefit out of the Chametz on Pesach. Therefore, we skimu our Chronim. So the best thing is to sell the tanner to him totally. And make a price. Get the money up front. there's a problem of, okay, I'm not clear about this. I mean, I'll tell you what I understand, I'll tell you what I don't understand. There's a law of Star Shabbos. So if I rent, if I do work on Shabbos, so I can't get paid for Shabbos. There are mitzvah where we're saying you hold that you could. So if you want to pay me to be a Baal Tekeh, or you want to pay me to be a Baal Kareh, right? So it's Tzarech Mitzvah. You want to pay me to be a Chazan? Phil Chazanus says it's Tzarech Mitzvah. So you know you can, I can accept that money, but otherwise I can't get paid. I babysit on Shabbos. You go babysit on Shabbos. You know, there's a simcha, and they bring two girls in to watch the kids, and we'll pay you, you know, $8 an hour. And there for 3 hours, they walk away with 20. As I said, they give them $20 a piece. Can't do that. Schar Shabbos. Similarly, I can't get Schar Shabbos for renting out an item. I can't, if I own a car rental place, so I can't charge for the people who are using my cars and shops. So even though I'm not doing any malacha involved, they're doing the malacha, they're goyim, it's clearly goyim, etc. I can't get benefit, I can't charge for the uses and shops. That's called star shops. Chazal said, "Behavlo it's mutter." If the money is not just getting, you're not just getting paid for Shabbos, you're getting paid for the Shabbos and a weekday together, that's mutter. For example, so you said the Balkare, I'm not paying him just for the Bakri, I'm paying him for the preparation, which he did during the weekdays. The guy's working as a waiter on Shabbos, you know, the caterer, I'm not just paying him for the work on Shabbos, I'm paying him for all the work during the weekday, which he's, the total package for what he's doing is X. Or alternatively, I could, that's that case where you see there's a clear preparation from before Shabbos for Shabbos. Alternatively, I have a case where there's no preparation for one to the other, but I'm hiring you for the week, and I pay you X amounts for a week. Good, so I'm paying X amount per week, so I'm not paying you for Shabbos specifically. That's mutter. So Bahav Law is mutter. So the din of Schar Shabbos applies not only to work, it also applies to the same. If I rent you the car for a week, and you pay per week, which means if you return in the middle of the week, that's still the price. So you're not being charged per day, you're being charged per week. So if that's the arrangements, then I'm allowed to take that payment, even though you're using partially for Shabbos. An application of Schar Shabbos, an interesting application, is that look, as I can't charge a goy interest for my money that I'm lending him for Shabbos. That's a Schar Shabbos problem, because I'm getting, my money is generating money. By lending him money, I'm getting money. That for Shabbos, if I charge per day, I theoretically have a Schar Shabbos problem. So Rambam says no, because since when I put my money into the bank, right, and I get paid the interest, you know, daily, they don't pay me for Shabbos, they pay me for a 24-hour period starting at 12 midnight and going to 11:59, mostly Shabbos. So I'm being paid for partially a weekday, partially Shabbos, as a unit, so that's Havlo. Says Echanami, in a case where you would have 2 days Yom Tov, it's also really okay, because 2 days Yom Tov really we look at as a Sofik, either the first day's Yom Tov or the second day's Yom Tov. The case you have two Shabbos and the Yom Tov immediately adjacent, the Yom Tov Deraisa immediately adjacent, so this day is Varei Aser, and this day is Varei Aser. So that 24-hour period of Shabbos morning to Motzei Shabbos, which Yom Tov to Motzei Shabbos, is also to take that interest, Mershah holds. So any interest you get from that, you have to calculate it and give it away without any benefit. You can't get any tax benefits for it, you can't get any cover for it, you can't get anything. It's not, you have no right to use it. It's not yours. So you give away the stock anonymously. So if I give the goy the tanner for the whole week, of course it's a Schar Shabbos problem. Because he's paying me for Shabbos and Yom Tov, etc. But no, he's not, he's paying me for the week. So the Mishmur, that's Havlo. Right? The problem is, you only discuss the issue of Havlo and Schar Shabbos when you talk about a case of a rental. Oh, here's his case, Mishmur, was to use Lashon Mechira, sell it to him. If you sell it to him, so it's not the Schar Shabbos. Right? So what the Mishmur seems to be saying is the following. In other words, here we have a situation where the arrangement wasn't, I'm selling to you for a week, and then at the end of the week, you have to sell it back to me. So then there would be a total bona fide sale with, you know, total ownership, but he theoretically has the option after pays enough to sell it back to you. But rather what he was doing, he's selling him the usage of the tanner for the whole week. So I own the tanner, but I'm selling all usages and all rights of usage. It's all yours. You own it totally. So it's like what's called an halacha is called kinyan peiros. There's what's referred to in halacha as kinyan aguf, which I own the item. Kinyan peiros means I own all of the benefits which come out of the item. All of the usages of the item belong to me. That's called kinyan peiros. I can directly sell some of them to you. I own my piece of property for the rights to walk through there, to sleep on, etc. And you own the rights in order to plant it. So we can split up those different payros, different benefits out of the field. But there's something in the law, any material this man is assumed to be a Kenyan payros, not a Kenyan aguf. So what the Mishabur seems to be saying is even though it's a Kenyan, it's not a skira, it's not a rental. But we deal with, there's a Gemara which says that a rental is called a mimkar liyama, a rental is called a sale for a day. But what is a rental? Rental is like I sold you for a day. So it's a form of Kenyan payros. I gave you, I own this car, I'm renting it to you, I'm saying you have the rights of all uses of the car for that, for this day. So that's a Kenyan payros. So if rental has a problem of Skar Shabbos, so Kenyan payros of I'm selling it to the goy for a week, and after a week it reverts back automatically to me, if that's what I say, so it's Kenyan payros. I have a problem with Skar Shabbos. Let me show you, no you don't. Why not? Because it's Bahavlo. Because it's spread out over weekdays and non Shabbos and Yom Tov. What I find interesting is, so here we're saying that even though the Jew owns the tanner, and but since all his tamshas and all usages and all control etc. belongs to the guy for the week, the fact that the guy is putting chometz in, there's not a problem. I found that a Kiddush, but okay, but it seems to be that's what it is. Let's hold it here. So holding my sift dollar.